Tamaki Makaurau-based artist Emily Parr feels a strong connection with the ocean, specifically with whales. At the same time as she's exploring whale migration for her PhD, she's presenting an exhibition of large-scale photographs and drawings related to the sea at the Physics Room in Christchurch. Surfacing includes a drawing of a hoi parawa, a whalebone waka paddle, that was collected by her great-great-grandparents and later gifted to Te Papa's precursor, the Dominion Museum. There's a gallery on our webpage, rnz.co.nz/standingroomonly, of some of her photographs. Do take a look. Emily explains why she feels such an affinity with whales.
I did a Master of Visual Arts and that research project reconnected me with my ancestral homelands of Tauranga, Moana, Tonga and Samoa. And through that project, I was able to go home and spend a lot of time getting to know the Moana, the ocean that my ancestors had been crossing for thousands of years, but also that they had migrated across to Aotearoa, that led to me being here. And after finishing that research, I decided to start a PhD not long after, and I felt that the connection between the whales and what I had been doing during this whakapapa research of following migration routes across the ocean, thinking about knowledge that's passed down through the generations, particularly through women. These were threads that I wanted to continue thinking about. Additionally, whaling was the reason that a Portuguese ancestor came to Samoa. And there's also a hoi parawa, a whalebone paddle, that's been particularly important to my family in a museum collection that is, in a way, propelling my research forward, as it will continue over the next couple of years while I do my PhD.
You went to Kaikoura.
I was really hoping to meet some whales on the boat.
And did you?
Yes. So we saw three sperm whales, one of them twice, and then 200 dolphins at the end to top it off.
What was your first encounter with a whale, though? Because I don't think it was that traditional huge breach that we think of.
No, it wasn't. It was in 2018 and I was in Nova Scotia, so very, very far from home. And I had walked out to the edge of a cliff and my partner and I were about to turn around and leave and then heard the gushes of air, and that the whales were so far away and we didn't see them breach. We just heard them and then waited and watched and could hear their blowholes moving across this very expansive ocean in front of us.
So this research that you're doing, Emily, how are we going to see that in image form in the exhibition?
Mm-hmm. The exhibition holds photos that really traverse my research trajectory over the last while. So there are some photographs that are of Tauranga, Moana, Tonga and Samoa, because I wanted to bring my own waters into that space. And also because those places are sites of the humpback whales' migration on their return to the warmer waters of the Pacific for mating and birthing. And then there are also photographs from my trip to Kaikoura.
So we're not talking about the kind of traditional tourist photographs that others would be taking of the whales breaching, say, when
No.
you're looking at them. It's a different feeling.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, the images of whales' tails and breeches are very well known. I'm sure particularly people in Ōtautahi, being so close to Kaikoura, are familiar with at least the photographs, if not the site themselves. I didn't want to bring one of those whales into the space because I also didn't want it to become about a specific whale or the kind of that money shot that people think of. I'm trying to bring a different sense of that journey and that process of trying to meet a creature that is so, I don't even know how to describe them, but somewhat elusive and also magnificent.
You have some drawings, Emily, also in the exhibition, and one I wanted to talk to you about because it's, again, very personal to you, but it's of a whalebone waka paddle, and I had no idea that whalebone had been used in this way.
Mm. That particular paddle is part of a collection of around 260 taonga and miasina that my great-great-grandparents collected. My great-great-grandfather was a Jewish man who moved to Samoa as a young man. Across his lifetime, he set up a trading business. So he was trading general goods around the Pacific, and at the same time, he was collecting artifacts. He eloped with my great-great-grandmother, who was a Samoan woman, but they moved to Tāmaki Makaurau in 1890. They had five children already, and then they had another five once they moved, and they had this grand house downtown called Uliula, and it was during this time that the Hoi Parawa came into Gustav's collection. And the whalebone paddle has been part of my life since 2012, when I first started doing family history research and learning about the collection that's held by Te Papa Tongarewa. And the paddle had been tracking a similar journey around the United States and Canada as I had been, only I didn't realise. So when I had first gone to Te Papa to meet it, it wasn't there because it was travelling as part of an exhibition. It's a well-travelled paddle. It was also part of Te Māori in the 80s. And the story of the Hoi Parawa is tricky, as many stories attached to taonga in the museums are. And one of my aims, or something that propels me in my research, is wanting to find out more about its provenance so that I can hopefully reconnect it with its home peoples. Yeah, it's a very rare and incredibly beautiful taonga. It's currently in the Auckland Museum in their new exhibition, Tāmaki Heading a Waka.
It's complicated, isn't it? Your relationship with it.
Yes, and, you know, as a descendant of settler-Indigenous relationships across Te Moana Nui Akiwa, it means I have a lot of complicated relationships and complicated legacies, and that's where I, rather than shy away from them, that's where I like to dive into to try and find a way forward and a way to better relationships in the future.
Aside from what we've been talking about, though, linked by water, of course, is another of the images that you have of friends swimming in a harbour. Yeah. And it fits under surfacing, which is the title of the exhibition. But how did you come across this image?
This image I made in March this year, and it was on a writing retreat. My friend and fellow student, Chantel Matthews-Perewiti, invited her cohort and a couple of extras, including me, to go on a writing retreat to her whānau whenua in Whaingaroa. And the first thing that we did as a group was go and karakia by the water and then have a swim. And while I was underwater, I was also sending out my own karakia to whales because I had just begun this new research phase. And it was next to this water that I wrote the first poem of my project. So it's a special, a new beginning for me. And it was surrounded by friends, and that's how my work always is surrounded by friends and family and ancestors. And so it felt like a really nice way to begin the exhibition as you walk into the space.
titles are always so important, and I touched on this before, but surfacing feels like the perfect word when you're talking about whales, when you're talking about genealogy, when you're talking about even the emergence of ideas breaking the surface.
Yes, and I usually find titles really difficult, or at least I hold off until the last moment and then it becomes clear. But in working towards this exhibition with the physics room director, Abby, surfacing was a word that came up during our conversations, and it stuck and felt very natural to continue.
You make moving image, Emily, but you also prefer film photography over digital. Why is that?
I started shooting film many years ago because I felt that with a digital camera in my hands, I would go to really incredible places and be photographing the whole time, and I would end up with hundreds sometimes of photos that I would never look at again, and I wasn't very present. So I switched to shooting on a 35mm camera because you can't shoot hundreds of photos, or you can and it's very expensive. But I think it made me a better photographer. I was less lazy because I wasn't so reliant on just fixing things in Photoshop after. And I love film really dearly because it feels like a physical trace of a place and the light, because the negative is literally being altered by the light of a place. And so it holds a lot more for me than digital photos do in my own practice. But yeah, moving image is my main practice, and photographing with film is something that I think of as being alongside it. It's a way that I will initially come to know a place that's unfamiliar to me by looking in another way through the film camera. Yeah, so it's been really nice to have an opportunity to bring my photographs to the fore, which is really, really nice.
Surfacing by Emily Parr has just opened at the Physics Room in Christchurch.